This is our devotional commentary for Job chapter 9. I'm Pastor Doug Corlew. Welcome to the Abide Podcast, where we daily begin with the reading of God's Word. Then Job answered and said, "Truly I know that it is so. But how can a man be in the right before God? If one wished to contend with him, one could not answer him once in 1,000 times. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has hardened himself against him and succeeded? He who removes mountains and they know it not, when he overturns them in his anger, who shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble, who commands the sun and it does not rise, who seals up the stars, who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea, who made the Bear and Orion, the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, who does great things beyond searching out and marvelous things beyond number. Behold, he passes by me, and I see him not. He moves on, but I do not perceive him. Behold, he snatches away. Who can turn him back? Who will say to him, 'What are you doing?' God will not turn back his anger. Beneath him bowed the helpers of Rahab. How then can I answer him, choosing my words with him? Though I am in the right, I cannot answer him. I must appeal for mercy to my accuser. If I summoned him and he answered me, I would not believe that he was listening to my voice, for he crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not let me get my breath, but fills me with bitterness. If it is a contest of strength, behold, he is mighty. If it is a matter of justice, who can summon him? Though I am in the right, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I am blameless, he would prove me perverse. I am blameless, I regard not myself. I loathe my life. It is all one. Therefore I say, he destroys both the blameless and the wicked. When disaster brings sudden death, he mocks at the calamity of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. If it is not he, who then is it? My days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They go by like skiffs of reed, like an eagle swooping on the prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will put off my sad face and be of good cheer, I become afraid of all my suffering, for I know you will not hold me innocent. I shall be condemned. Why then do I labor in vain? If I wash myself with snow and cleanse my hands with lye, yet you will plunge me into a pit, and my own clothes will abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I might answer him, that we should come to trial together. There is no arbiter between us who might lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak without fear of him, for I am not so in myself." In the previous chapter, Bildad argued that God cannot pervert justice. He is absolutely and consistently fair. So God will never bless the wicked or fail to bless the righteous. In chapter 9, Job replies, rather impatiently, that he knows all that. "Truly, I know that it is so," verse 2. This was the traditional worldview which Job had accepted without question until the terrible day that his troubles began. Now he has plenty of questions. "Yes, Bildad, I believe God is entirely just. But," Job continues, "how can a man be in the right before God?" Verse 2. To be in the right is not to be perfect, but to be able to stand before God. It's what we call justification, a legal term, which means to be acquitted before God, declared not guilty. Above all, this is what Job longs for, to stand justified before God. The problem is that he can see no way this could ever be possible. How could any person stand beside the matchless righteousness of God? He is much too strong and too wise for us to have any chance against him in court. Nobody challenges God and wins. Verses 3 and 4. Job works with the assumption that God sovereignly governs the universe. As the powerful creator, he rules over all he has made, doing marvelous things beyond number. Yet, he also overturns mountains, shakes the earth, and hides the sun. Job uses these images to picture the dramatic upheaval he has experienced in his life. Cosmic disorder has replaced stability. And if God is God, he must have done it. Job's maker is the troublemaker. Verses 5 through 10. But God is also invisible. So how can he be confronted about his actions? He can pass right by us and we wouldn't see him. So what chance does Job have to challenge such an elusive God? How can he bring such a wild, almost manic God into the order of a courtroom? Verses 11 through 13. To even imagine such a court case, Job v. God, is an absurdity. It doesn't matter if Job is in the right, for in this courtroom, might is right. God is too strong to lose. Job could only beg for mercy. If he tried to state his case, it would be like speaking into a hurricane. Totally overwhelmed, he would have no choice but to plead guilty, even though he knows he is innocent. Verses 14 through 20. Job knows there is something horribly wrong about saying that God actively brings injustice on earth. But he can see no way around this conclusion. He can't bring the transcendent God to trial. What he really needs is an impartial mediator, an arbiter who could bridge the gap between him and God so that he might finally speak freely and without fear. Verses 21 through 25. Thanks for listening to the Abide Podcast. For more information about Summit Church of Alta, go to summitefc.com. And I'll meet you again next time as we abide, living daily in the Word.